Are you and your RV ready to hit the road? If not, let's get it ready for the next great RV getaway. That's what we're going to discuss in staying on the road today. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about enjoying the RV life. And that's going to be about overcoming RV towing anxiety. So that's something a lot of people face when they're towing an RV or a trailer, and that anxiety's just got to go. And then we're going to go to the next stop, which is the amazing New Orleans. And we're going to talk about traveling there, some of the things to do. And then we're going to discuss RV water hoses. As boring as that may sound, we'll try to make it exciting. And it won't be long either, so don't worry about it. We're not going to blather on about water hoses forever. So this is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer Podcast, delivering the smarts you need to enjoy the freedom of the RV lifestyle without the fear of breaking down. So this is episode number 147, so let's get into it. Welcome to the show again, Alexis.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
One more time.
Yeah, thanks for putting up with me.
As always. So, you know, in the past I've talked about RVs that have the central command center. One brand is called InCommand. And basically, yeah, it's a tablet, and you press that tablet and it opens and closes and turns everything on and off in the RV. And, you know, I don't really care for them. I don't think I would buy an RV with one, but I did talk to InCommand, as a matter of fact, just yesterday. And, you know, I was asking them about it because they've been around since 2015. So I said, so what happens if my circuit board goes bad? Which, you know, the circuit board controls everything in the RV. So I was told by their tech support that, well, if you have, let's say, a 2015 RV, you're not going to be able to get that circuit board anymore, but you could upgrade to a new system. Now, that's going to probably be a couple thousand bucks, or, you know, 1500 maybe, I don't know. Circuit boards aren't too bad price-wise. That's why I actually called them a newer RV, a 2019, needed a new circuit board. So that's kind of scary. That's not that old, you know. So parts are going to fail, but it's whether you're left stranded or not. And that's one thing about these, is it brings in the slide outs and the awnings. So that is taken care of. So you could travel. Maybe it doesn't turn off the lights or some other things, but you can deal with that. You know, they're not my favorite thing, but if you do have one, it's upgradable. So it's not a panic at this point. It just might be the money you'll have to spend later on to do it. But it's a pretty basic system, but once it's there, it's almost got to be there. It'd be really a lot of work to, like, bypass that entire system. So just a little update on that. So that's if you have that, you know, the tablet in the center of your RV and it opens and closes everything and all that. If it fails, kind of a pain, but at least it's upgradable, at least at this point. And that's from InCommand. I haven't talked to the other brands, but InCommand is a big brand out there, made by SA Electronics, good company. They've been making electronics for RVs for years, and they're a trusted name. So that might give you a little comfort to sleep at night if you're worried about that. But it will fail eventually. Don't get me wrong. It's going to fail. It's just a matter of when. That's InCommand. So anyways, if you have one of those, make sure you got the manual for it and get your model number handy, like you should everything. So when it does fail, you're ready to replace it. And it's probably a do-it-yourselfer thing as well. I don't think it's that complicated. It's a central command center, which is plug and play. And then you got the circuit board, but you take a picture of all the wires, mark them, and you'd be good to go. I wouldn't even worry about it. Let's go on with the show. Now, just as a reminder, go to our YouTube channel if you want to watch some videos about RV stuff that we do. So it's the Smart RVer on YouTube. Now let's jump into enjoying the RV life. Now we're going to talk about towing anxiety. You know, a lot of people get nervous just even thinking about towing an RV. So Alexis, what made you choose this article?
Because I thought about myself. And how I'd probably be a little nervous had I not had a lot of experience, you know, with this. But that shouldn't stop you from having fun and learning how to tow a trailer. It's important, and you want to know how to do it even if you're not the main driver all the time. You still want to know how to do this if you have to get yourself out of a situation. So first point on there is knowledge is power. So understanding how it works, understanding which direction it's going to go when you're turned a certain way, that's the first step, really. So educate yourself. Make sure you know what you're doing, what you're working with, what kind of technology you're using, Yeah, just have somebody show you even, and then try to copy that. And always starting small is good. You know, you don't have to back it down a narrow road on the side of a cliff, you know, for 2 miles. That's probably not where you should start if you can help it.
Right.
And then practicing is a good thing to do before you're in a situation, or even just going to a campground. Just make sure you're ready to do it. Again, maybe having quality towing equipment would be a good thing. We've talked about that a little bit. There's a lot you can do planning and preparing. Do you have anything to add, Eric? I know you've done this a lot.
I always do. So one of the things that I would highly recommend, and it is listed on here, and this is on our website, by the way, under Enjoying the RV Life, Navigating the Road to Overcoming RV Towing Anxiety. Mm-hmm. But knowing the terminology, because so often RVers come in here and they describe stuff or say, I need one of these, and you show it to them. That's not what I need. Because they call everything the same thing when it comes to towing a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Unless a fifth wheel hitch is different, but even there's different brands. And then as well, what kind of hitch do you have? I don't know. It's a fifth wheel hitch. They're all the same.
You're right.
You know, it's not. And so it reduces a lot of the stress of trying to get the right parts, understanding what someone's talking about. Everything's not a hitch. Believe me, hitches are on the back of a truck. They're bolted to the bottom. That's the only hitch you have.
Exactly.
You know, you have a sway control, weight distribution bars, the shank, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it a stinger, where the ball mounts, a ball mount, you know. But getting that terminology is correct or is important because it helps people, and it also helps you. When you're talking to someone else or someone's explaining things to you, you know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
You know, what is that? And then... Yeah, Alexis mentioned starting small or, you know, taking it easy, you know, finding a place where you can practice backing up, pulling forward. And she also brought out that, you know, maybe you're the passenger all the time, but knowing how to tow would be great.
Yep.
In case something happens and things do happen. Mm-hmm. But also, it's not just towing, it's hooking up the trailer promptly. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, fifth wheels are a little easier to hook up. I guess, you know, I mean, I think they are, but a trailer, you know, sometimes seems a little overwhelming, but you do want to get it hooked up right either way. Then it also brings out here, invest in quality towing equipment. And yeah, you want to buy good stuff, you brand names, don't buy cheap Taiwan garbage. Be careful on the large online platforms. Make sure it's a brand, Curt, Reese, EaseLift, one of those brands. Because it does matter. You are towing something, but you don't have to go super crazy either. You know, for my trailer, I got a EaseLift towing system or weight distribution system, and it's pretty basic. It's the one that has a change that holds the weight distribution bars. I don't have a real fancy one because I don't need it, and it's easier to use. Parts are easier to get. If something breaks, who cares? It's cheap enough.
Nice.
So you don't have to go crazy, and a dealership will always sell you, always, every time, the $1,200 or $1,300 or $1,400 or $2,000 or $3,000 system every time. That's what they're going to sell you. So be aware of that. You don't have to buy it regardless of what they say. And there are courses you can take for learning how to drive and tow, things like that. So might be worth looking into it. And also looking ahead of where you're traveling.
Yeah.
If you're really anxious about backing up 3 or 4 miles, make sure you don't go down a road that's a dead end where you can't turn around and you got to back out because it might be impossible. Sometimes backing out a trailer, if it's a windy road, could take hours and hours, you know, trying to get it without going off the side or hitting things. So you want to really be certain of where you go before you find yourself in a spot where you can't back out. And sometimes you might not even be able to turn around, or even if you unhook the trailer, how could you turn it around, you know? So you have to really think about that. So don't learn that one the hard way.
No.
And, you know, there's a website called rvsafety.com. A lot of good information on there, and they actually have charts and stuff to help you hook up or what kind of truck will match this trailer. They have videos for sale, and they have courses you can take online, you know, via the video. And I highly recommend checking it out. It's definitely worth it. It might not be your cup of tea, but it might be something you need or someone you know needs. But you definitely want to practice and don't just wait for things to happen. And also, make sure your tow vehicle has good mirrors on it. Mirrors are very important.
Yes.
Bad mirrors, you're going to have bad problems. And having a rear observation system, too. And that's great for when you're going down the road, just not just when you're backing up.
Yeah.
Leave it on all the time. It helps you make lane changes safer.
Exactly.
You can see if problems are happening, like your tires are coming apart and you can't see in the mirror, but your camera's picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on. Now that you know how to overcome that anxiety of towing, now we can start a whole new anxiety for you. No, just kidding. Staying on the road. So this is, again, a follow-up basically from the last episode, de-winterizing your RV. So this is really getting it ready the rest of the way, getting ready to hit the road so you're not finding yourself the night before the trip just stressed out, trying to get all this stuff ready. Then all of a sudden, oh, no, look at this. This isn't working. That isn't working. Getting ahead of it. So when you're ready to hit the road, it definitely is more than de-winterizing. You know, that's what we talked about in last episode 146. Getting ready to hit the road is mental and it's physical. So you have to mentally start getting ready, making the plans, thinking about what you need to do, where you're going, that type of planning. Then also, is your RV ready? Now, maybe when you de-winterized, you checked out the entire RV. But now it comes to putting all the stuff back in that maybe you took out during the winter time. You don't leave it in the RV, or maybe there's some things you need to add and some things you need to subtract. Now's the time to do that. And of course, adding things to the RV is going to change depending on what they are, if you want to leave them on the RV, if they're specifically for the RV, or if it's things you take out of the house just for a trip. You know, there's a lot of personal things there. So that's your RV, and then you also have your tow vehicle, which is probably going to be a truck or an SUV of some kind to tow your trailer, and that's assuming it's a trailer. If you have a motorhome, then the chassis is your focus there. You know, I mean, that's your tow vehicle in a sense, if you want to call it that, because it's your motorhome, but you might be towing a car as well. So you want to look at that system, the tow bar, the brackets, make sure the car is ready to be towed. So again, it's the principles they apply here. So you can apply it both directions. So some people like to wait the night before they go on a trip to really start packing the RV or going through it. And, you know, especially after winter time, oh, well, I'll just wait. You know, I don't have time, or I don't want to waste the time because this all seems redundant. But, you know, when you wait till the last minute, you always miss things. And then you find yourself at a store buying things that were so simple that you could have just brought, or things you got to live without now because it's too expensive to replace or not worth it. Getting ready early is much better. And, you know, when you go out on that first trip of the season, you don't want to make it feel like you just bought this RV and you're starting all over because you forgot everything, didn't do this, didn't do that, you know. Make your plans, be organized, and just have a great trip. That's what it's all about, you know. A great trip, even if it's for a day or two. Sometimes you can do without things, but why if you don't have to? You know, knowingly leaving something behind is much better than just forgetting about it. So everybody does it, but we try to, you know, reduce that. Now, if you have a trailer, you've done everything, you know, when you de-winterize, you checked it out, it's all in good shape. So now you look at the tow vehicle, your truck, or your SUV, and you want to make sure that it's in good shape, that the tires are there, that the tread is good, the hitch is still on the vehicle. You're going to check the spare, make sure the spare is even there. Sometimes spares get stolen, you don't even know it until you go to use it, like, where's my spare? Or it's flat. It doesn't just happen on trailers, it happens on vehicles as well. In fact, it happens quite often on vehicles. You know, spares never get checked. So check your spare, you know, go through the motions of that. You know, the tow vehicle has its maintenance requirements. Maybe it's time to do the transmission service, the oil change, or you just want to take it in the shop, get the oil change done, and have them check everything out. But I would tell them you're going on a trip. It's probably going to motivate them to check it out a little more seriously. It should anyways. They're thinking, oh, this guy's going on a trip, so he's going to want to make sure everything's in shape. You don't have to tell them it's just a weekend getaway 100 miles away. Just tell them you're going on a big trip. That's all you got to do. More likely, they'll be more sincere about it, especially when it comes to the tires, things like that, the fan belts, the cooling system. So if you're taking it to a shop, then you want all that checked. If you're doing it yourself, then you know what to maintain on your RV, or hopefully you do. Everything I mentioned plus more. And get that stuff taken care of. Because there's nothing worse when the trailer doesn't have any problems, but your tow vehicle does. You know, if a fan belt breaks, a tire comes apart, when you could have caught that, and now you're buying a set of tires out on the road, not only is it more expensive, they might not be the tires you really want, and so now you're settling for something, but you got to do it. You know, there can be a lot to all this, even just a regular trip in the middle of the season, depending on how you do things, but, you know, what you take in and out of your RV, what you leave in it versus what you don't. But, you know, that first trip might be getting your tire pressure monitoring system back up and running, you know, making sure the tires are aired up, that the tires registering on the screen of the monitor. Make sure the backup camera's working, that if you have two-way radios like walkie-talkies and stuff to keep in communication when you're at your destination, are they charged up, ready to go? Is your camera ready to go? Your everything, you know, if you're making money on the road, is all your gear there to make some money, you know, whatever it might be. So you want to check all these things, and don't forget power cords, adapters, pair of work gloves, your tools. That cordless drill, is it charged? Are you going to need the charger, bits for it? You know, the drill's great, but then you need to take out some screws and you don't have any bits. It's all pointless at that time. So it's really going through, and, you know, a list might be hard to do, or a general list might be easier than a very detailed list, but a general list, you know, grab cordless drill and bits. Grab tools, wrenches, sockets, and screwdrivers, whatever. Electrical things, water stuff, water fittings. So you have a lot there to do when it comes to checking out your RV or getting everything ready for traveling. But it's a necessity. Like I said, breaking down on the road really sucks, especially when you have your family with you. Then you're not a hero anymore. You're basically a zero, as they say. And you want to be a hero. You want to get there without any problems. If a problem arises, man, you just tackle it. No big deal. Because there's always something that'll come in on a trip. There's always something. So going on a trip with just one or two things that you can deal with is fine. But with a handful of things, that really ruins the trip. You might laugh about it later, but at the time, it can be very frustrating. So check everything out from stem to stern on the trailer, the tow vehicle. Don't forget all the little gadgets and gadgets. I know I try to leave a lot of stuff in the trailer that is just for the trailer or for towing. Some of it might end up in the truck, but it's in the trailer. That way it at least is there no matter what. And sometimes a little extra work walking back and forth. But nonetheless, you already have a lot of things to do to get ready for a trip anyways. So getting some of this stuff ironed out on that first trip is the time to do it. And then the rest of the summer, it's much easier. You've got in the groove of it. And, you know, a lot of people don't go out that often, so it's kind of like starting over each time. But the more of the stuff that you get down, get used to doing, it just makes it easier. So hopefully that simplifies your next trip, and you'll be thinking, all right, that Eric's all right, man. He helped out this time. He didn't give us any bad advice like that first aid kit. All right, so as you're getting ready for your trip, remember to support your local RV stores if you need any parts and accessories. Buy quality stuff. Don't buy the junk that you can get on a lot of the online marketplaces. Now, let's talk about the next stop with Alexis, and we're going to go to the amazing New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Such a cool place, honestly. Have you ever been to the South?
I have.
Yeah. Yeah, I have never. So I really don't know. But it seems like a cool place. We all, you know, we hear about the big Mardi Gras each year, the big party that they have there. But there's so much more to it than that. There's jazz. We know that it's like the birthplace of jazz. It's beautiful. Places you can go and listen to. There's festivals, there's parades, there's a lot of history that you can go and just take a tour and learn a lot about New Orleans. Famous people that, you know, took up residence there and would play there. And then there's that good old Southern hospitality. You know, people are pretty nice there. Really cool stays, hotels, Airbnbs that you can get a hold of if you're not RVing, which hopefully you are RVing. But there's just a lot there. Obviously, it's a city, so it's a little different than our usual spots that we talk about that are a little more, you know, nature-filled, but a lot of cool stuff there.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a city. Mm-hmm. There are RV parks there that are very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're not into Mardi Gras, jazz, it's still a cool place to go to.
Uh-huh.
The history is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of freaks and weirdos there.
Well, always with a city, you know?
It's one of them places. But, you know, the food, even if you don't like Cajun cooking, like, you just think of any of the things that aren't desirable to you, like me, it'd be fish, you know, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, doesn't appeal.
Ocean don't care about. But that carries over to a lot of stuff there, you know, it's Cajun, but it's not always stuff that's, like, maybe not your favorite thing. There might be some sort of meat or whatever, they add that flair to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very interesting place. I mean, there are shops galore. Mm-hmm. You know, to go shopping, looking around, there's shows. And then that can be a place where, again, it's day trips, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You can go out and see a lot of stuff in the surrounding area.
Oh, yeah.
It's the South. There's a lot there.
It's cool.
And maybe you live in the area, so, you know, there's things you know you could do there, but maybe turn in a trip going over here. I mean, I'm not that familiar with it. I've been there, but definitely... It's worth going back to if you've been there. Definitely worth seeing. And it's just another place. Again, it's like so many places that we talk about. It just whets your appetite.
Yep.
You might start looking on a map and, wow, New Orleans isn't where I want to go. I want to go here.
Mm.
You know, I want to stop at this place and maybe work our way there as a one-day trip just so we can say we saw it by a magnet for the refrigerator or something.
There you go.
But it might not be where you really want to go. Your flavor might be someplace else. So, again, it's just looking at maps and really just looking at, hey, this is what I want to do, where I want to go type of thing. So there's a lot to do there. You definitely have to check it out.
That's
for darn sure. Okay, now that's going to bring us to the end of the next stop. And as a reminder, RVDestinationsMagazine.com, check it out. Go to their website. Awesome publication. In fact, we look at it. We get things from there for some of our next stops, and they cover a lot of ground. Again, it whets your appetite. Amazing photos, just amazing pictures on there. So now let's talk about RV water hoses. The crickets start making their noise. No. So water hoses are not exactly the most exciting thing. You kind of buy it like, okay, yeah, it's just a water hose. Don't have to think much about it. But really, when you go to a store, it can be kind of confusing. Like, we have good, better, and best water hoses. And sometimes you might not know that. You're just looking at the prices like, well, that one's expensive. I wonder why. How come this one costs more than that one? It's the same hose. It's just a different color. Well, it can be quality. And when you buy water hoses, you really want to buy better or best if it's in your budget, which it doesn't change it that much. And the reason why is the hose is going to last longer. You know, you don't want to buy a new hose every three times you go out. And some of these less expensive hoses don't last long. You know, the ends break off or they start leaking. You pull on that hose just a little too hard one time and it starts leaking. You can't fix it. They burst. They split. The sun ruins them. Where if you invest a little bit more in a water hose, it's going to last longer. And water hoses, you know, you want to drain them when you're done using them. Don't leave the water in it. It's not like a garden hose in front of your house where you turn it off and just walk away from it. Not the same thing. You know, you're getting water out of it. Sometimes you're drinking water because it's filling or going through your RV. So think about it a little more. It is an investment. You know, a hose might be $50 or $60, might be $30, whatever. It's money you worked hard for. So take care of the hose. But remember, when you look at them, look at good, better, and best. That's how the hoses should be split up in a store so you can make a good decision. You definitely want to stay in the better or best if it's in your budget. All right. I said we're not going to talk about it long, so we're not. We're done with water hoses. All right. So you can go to our website, to our YouTube channel at YouTube and search for the Smart RVer. And we have plenty of videos there for you to watch and learn from and continue your education as the Smart RVer. So next episode is going to be 148, and we're going to talk about lithium batteries and how these things are just trending with RVers. But the question is, who really needs a lithium battery in their RV? Because it's not everybody. So we'll discuss that in 2 weeks in episode 148. So we had a great show today. This is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer Podcast. It's been great hanging out with you. And if I don't see you on the road, let's connect at thesmartrver.com. And Alexis, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye.
Right,
we'll see you next time.
We are out of here.